Ed, a good afternoon to you. It's a good afternoon if you're not trying to get anywhere. If you're trying to travel in Western North Carolina, not a real good day. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wrecks to tell you about. It's got things slowed down. It's a Friday afternoon. People trying to go to Tennessee, cutting through 40 and I-26. Yep, Crashville, North Carolina. Thank you for being with us here on a Friday. Well, let me tell you where not to go. How about that? I guess that's the best thing to do. We have a wreck on I-26, and it's on the westbound side. And it's before you get to, well, let's see here. It is in the stretch between the Asheville Airport and Biltmore Park. So between highways 280 and 146 on I-26 westbound. Got it backed up all the way back beyond the airport. As a matter of fact, it's backed up all the way back to the Fletcher exit combination. And that's going to go up to the wreck site then around Lake Julian, and then it's going to be moderately slow on up from there. There is a crash on Bouvard Road on 191. It is just to the north and east. It's right near the entrance. It's actually right there in front of Fred Anderson Toyota between the new exit and the bridge. It's right in there on Bouvard Road. You have another wreck. This is Highway 146. There at 191 and 146, it shows to be on 146 near the stoplight. Got that backed up. 25A on the northbound side. Shows a wreck just before you get Sweet and Quick Road, just before you get to Mills Gap. Okay. Then that's that set. Then if we go west, well, there is wreck. They're now just showing one. No, there's two. Okay, so we've got a wreck in the construction zone on I-40. This is the eastbound side. It's just to the east of the 74 split. And then there's one on the on 74. Coming down the hill from the Clyde exit, down through there, across the river. There's a wreck right there. So we have big backups on 74 trying to get up onto 40. And on 40 east trying to come past the Canton-Waynesville exit. And the Waynesville-Clyde exit, I guess. And it's clears up, will not clear up till you get about 3 miles, 2 miles from Ken Wilson Ford there before that clears up. Okay. And it's put some pressure on 23 going through Clyde. People trying to get around all that, of course. There is another one. This is on Delwood Road. They're actually showing two of them. It's on 19. It's up past Lake Junaluska. It's before you get to 276. It's right in that section around Ivy Hills. And so it's actually backed up on 276. There's a section there where 276 and 19 combined as they go west. And then 276 breaks back out and goes back north. Well, it's right through there, okay, that wreck has happened. Okay, so that's the wrecks. Now let's talk about some other things here. What else have we got to talk about? Well, we're slow because of people trying to get around the wrecks. We're slow I-40 today westbound in the big curve before you get the Newfound. You're pretty good in the junction. You're pretty good around the city of Asheville. Matter of fact, the bridge is better than usual today, and even the 240 west is better than usual. Don't ask me why. But there is a wreck. So I can figure out where that's at. It is. Give me just a minute here. I've lost my bearings. Okay, that's going to be, I guess at that point, that's known as Smoky Park. Okay, Patton Avenue, Smoky Park Highway. And I'm trying to figure out where that's at. It's in there in the dip near Skylanes Bowling. You all know where that's at? Malvern Hills, you know where that's at? It's right in there. And it is on the, I guess, the westbound side, and so it's got traffic backed up, back up the hill toward Johnston Boulevard, toward the, well, I guess that would be what, toward the funeral homes there? Yeah. Yeah, it's about backed up that direction. All right, let's see what else here this afternoon. It is, yeah, it's interesting. There's places that you never hear me talk about. That's where everything's at today. And the places that are normally pretty rough, no issues, none. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. I really don't. So we don't see the backups that I normally would expect. Secondaries are good. 191's good. 112's good. No issues there. Of course, I told you about 146, and I told you about 25A. 25's good. 25A's got that issue. So Mills River, Hendersonville, everybody else looking fine. No problems there. So let's drop off the mountain and see what happens. When we get to South Carolina, that's your norm. You've got a wreck right below the airport, which is routine. And so it's got 85 south slow. But northbound's looking pretty good today. And again, it's unusual for Friday. There's a wreck over on 124. 124. That's the old Easley Highway. It's just before you get to Saluda River right there. It's where that one's at. And, I don't know. I think that's the only ones that I really got that's affecting traffic this afternoon. So, all right, we're glad to have you with us. We appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I'm looking at temperatures. The 5 o'clock temperature at Asheville was 87. We're considerably cooler than that. Of course, we've been in the clouds a lot today. We actually had a few sprinkles this morning. Yeah, did you get any? It wasn't bad enough to wet the pavement. Yeah, it was enough to wet the pavement. So it wasn't in the forecast, but it did do it, okay? And it took a while for everything to burn off. We're looking at another fairly good day tomorrow. You got 87 degrees. Matter of fact, I'm going to say a good day tomorrow. So you got good night tonight. There's a chance of a scattered shower. I don't see any on the radar. Doesn't mean you couldn't get one. They're over to the very west of the very western part of the state. They're diving down out of Tennessee. Most of it's going in the north of Georgia. Does not mean that some of it couldn't track across us. It could, but there's only a 30% chance. But for tonight, it's nice. Clear day tomorrow. But tomorrow night, 30% chance, pretty good chance of thunderstorms Sunday, by 60% chance. And then you'll see that cooling trend starting by Tuesday. 77's the high. And your chances get better than 50-50 the closer we get toward midweek of showers. So the real hot day or two, it looks like, is beyond us. And I'm seeing 2, 3, 4 days. Matter of fact, I don't see any 80s next week. I know that sounds odd, but the first week of August, in the upper 70s, from what I'm looking at right now, I'm looking at the upper 70s. 80, you may see 80 Monday, but 77 Tuesday, 77 Wednesday, 77 Thursday, and 79 Friday. We'll take it. You got a chance of showers every day, but no, that's a nice forecast. We like that. The last Friday in the month of July, July the 30th. Hard to imagine that, isn't it? So what that means is summer's 2/3 gone for the school kids. It's more than that. But if you figure 3 months of summer from Memorial Day to Labor Day, yeah, we're 2/3 in the history book. The listener's portion today being sponsored by faithful listeners in honor of their salvation and all God's done for them. Their hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is our strength and redeemer. They thank God for their 2 children and 6 grandchildren. They are so blessed. They thank God for Christian Heritage. They're thankful for WGCR and all it means to the community. They pray God will continue to bless the ministry of this radio station until the trumpet sounds. And they do a dual sponsorship today for AM 720, WGCR 94.9 FM, for WGCR.net, for the WGCR music channel, for the WGCR video channel, for the WGCR preaching channel, all being sponsored today by these anonymous donors. And we say thank you very, very much. Birthdays today include our own Mr. Mark Parker. Congratulations. Also, Amanda Brown having a birthday today. Anniversary wishes going out to Mr. and Mrs. Bill Brackett. God bless you. And congratulations. Wish you many, many more. Let's see who is listening today. We've got folks that are, watching, folks that are listening. Let me find some places here that are not as, we don't see every day. Well, I'll just read you the list. It's easier. Fairbanks, Alaska, Fresno, California, High Springs, Florida. Don't know where that's at. Augusta, Georgia, North Attleboro, Massachusetts, Ann Arbor, Michigan, Plymouth, Minnesota, Grassy Creek, North Carolina, Weaverville, Brevard, Silver, Marion, Hendersonville, Murphy. Lots of Murphys on today. Toronto, Ottawa, Columbia, Greer, Fort Mills, and Greer again. Houston, Texas, the country of Brazil's all lit up today. Thank you. Also, Europe is with us, and so we appreciate all these folks being with us here this afternoon. And join us on Visual Radio. We have this afternoon, Umaga Danga Maga back to you in Legazpi City. Also, Giovanni and Geraldine, Miss Teresa, and Kathy, and Kathy, and Pisgah Forest, and Joel's on with us, we appreciate that. And so, to you guys, of course, it is Umagandang Umagapo, early morning there. They get up very early to listen or to watch prayer time, and good to see you guys. Thank you so much. And, yeah, all right. And let's see here, just right quick. I have got a couple of things. 4412 says, God bless Israel, Pastor Barton, Anchor Broadcasting. Thank you. And 7108, I see you. And it says, hello. All right, hello, how are you? And yeah, what would you like to talk about today? You tell me, 577-1296, 828-884-9427. I need to make a correction. And can I tell you this? I am, not only do we make corrections here and admit mistakes, I like it when I can come on and correct myself, okay? Because I do so much off the top of my head that it's not hard. It's not hard to make a mistake. I said yesterday that the Delta variant is the Brazilian variant, and I have been proven wrong. Now, I had information, and I had asked someone who knew, and they had confirmed that, but I'm wrong. So let me tell you what they are. And this is, I've even got them broken down as to what the variants are. And they break out. It doesn't mean anything to us. You know, it goes by what's called lineages and pango lineages. So like your alpha, it was a B 0.1.1.7. Okay. And there's a whole lot of chemical nomenclature, microbiology nomenclature. And it tells about the amino acids that changed and all of those things in the virus. We're talking about COVID-19. So we had the main Chinese, you know, the Chinese virus that they blamed on America. Okay. The first change in it, or variant, or mutation in it, was called, using the Greek alphabet, Alpha A. Okay. The Alpha. And it was first detected in the United Kingdom last year in September, and they did not really put a label on it until December the 18th is when they basically said, yes, this is a common variant. So we called it the United Kingdom or the British strain of COVID, and it was very legitimate, okay? Then there was a second one, and we knew about this as well. As a matter of fact, they were designated the same day, and it was the South African. Now, it had been detected as early as May of last year, and it was really causing some havoc. And it was called Beta, B, Beta, the Greek alphabet. and it was B.1.351, and that is the variant. Now there's actually .1, then point, and then there's two more that go with it. B.1.35.2, and then .3. So there's actually three lineages of the beta. And these were not designated, again, discovered in May, but it was not designated until the 18th of December when it was actually said, yes, this is the beta variant. Well, gamma. Now, gamma is the one I never heard anybody talk about. They will always use the phrase Brazilian. That one is still rolling, by the way. That one's big time in South America, and Brazil's listening this afternoon. And it is designated in the panhellenic lineages by a P, as in Paul. So it's P1 or P1.1 or P1.2. And that one, and again, it has amino acid changes, and it tells what they are. But this was picked up in Brazil in November. It was not designated until January the 11th is when they said, yep, this is an actual mutation. And so this is gamma. So alpha, beta, gamma. And then the fourth one, delta. And I've not heard a lot about this one named. All I've heard is delta. Does anybody know where delta came from? Well, I'm going to tell you, but do you know where it came from? I think it's interesting that they've not used the country or used the continent, but instead they've just used the Greek suffix. Delta is from India. Yep. And Delta was officially designated on the 4th of April by one group, and then not until the 11th of May by another group. And it is, its variant is like a B.1.617.2, the Delta variant. It was first discovered in India in October of last year. Again, was not designated until April and May of this year. And so it is, and so let me tell you what that is, okay? When they talk about Pongo, the Pongo nomenclature, which is, means the words, the phrases, it's used by researchers and health organizations to track the transmission and spread of SARS-CoV-2, and includes the variants, and this is what I'm talking about, variants. And so when it doesn't mean anything to us, but for somebody who was tracking it, they could look at the numbers and understand what had happened. Okay, and it also is used, these numbers are used by software tools to perform analysis on it. So that's where the numbers come in. Just like flu, we had H1N1, okay? There are, and I'm going to be wrong on this, there's more H's than N's. But in a flu combination, there are like, it's either like 13 or 18 H's. And again, I'm talking off the top of my head. And then on the ends, the combination, I think there's either 8 or 9. But what you do is you do the math. That means that there are almost 200 variants of flu based on the combination of the H and the N, that you can get about almost 200 variants. As it stands right now, in February every year, the World Health Organization tries to predict, based on what's happened in the past 2 months, what's going to happen in the fall. And they produce the vaccine, and they try to dial it in as to what the mutations are going to be. Well, it has been, you know, it's about 50-50. Some years it's 50-50. Some years it's a little better. And it changes based on your area. Depends on what area you're in and how it got hit and what the mutations are. Israel is working on a new vaccine that takes it to a different level, and it's very much like the vaccines for COVID. But now they've been working on it longer than COVID has been around. And what they're doing, they are looking now to, instead of immunizing based on what's on the outside, the H's and the N's, they're looking at immunizing based on the amino acids, which gives you a much broader base. The research is called M, as in Mary, 001. It's Israeli. If this thing, it's already in clinical trials. Okay, they're already trying it. And if this thing turns out to be what they hope it will, it's the next generation flu shot. And basically, we could wipe out flu in the world. But you got one big hurdle. You've got to immunize billions of people. And first of all, you got to make them, somebody's got to pay for it. And then you also have to determine how you're going to get it to that many people. And of course, the flu kills an enormous amount of people every year, worldwide. And it is a flu in itself. A seasonal flu is a pandemic in and of itself. But of course, it is, it's not as deadly for healthy people. And the seasonal flu, about between 70% and 80% of the people who die from seasonal flu is people who are 65 years and older. And this is from the CDC. And same thing for people who go in the hospital with the flu. It's between about 50% to 70% of people with seasonal flu related hospitalizations occur with people 65 and older. So flu shots are a big deal for anybody at 65, anybody that's on Medicare. It's a big deal. But kids get the flu, everybody gets the flu. And most people get it and you're sick and you feel like you're going to die, but you don't, and you go get up, go back to work. Well, the flu is constantly mutating and it's constantly changing if this Israeli vaccine happens, if this thing comes about, it's going to revolutionize vaccines as far as flu concerned. I've had people ask, "Well, you think it's one and done?" I don't know about that. I don't know if you just take one in your lifetime and you're done with it. I don't think so. I don't think that's what the plan is. But if it would cover and give you like a 90-95% coverage, and by the way, when somebody tells you something's 100%, I don't never believe that. Not when it's research, not when it's effectiveness. See, there's always a 5% margin. And anybody that's ever been in the military knows there's a 5% margin. And I don't care if you got a scene secure, everything's safe. You're never 100% safe. You're 95% safe. There is a 5% chance that something else is going to break loose. It's just that because of human error. That's the way it works. So, I don't know we'll ever have 100% on anything. But 95% may be achievable, okay? Could be. All right, so and let me just ask this question right quick. Somebody tell me who is giving Johnson & Johnson right now? Where can you go commercially? Where can you go and get it? Where can you go and get commercially? And somebody says flu was non-existent last year. Well, not according to the doctor I talked to, but it was way down, and they said it's because of social distancing. Because people social distance, and that's how it spreads. Flu does not live very well on surfaces. It can, but it doesn't very well. Doesn't live, it's person-to-person transmission. And much like COVID can live. It can be airborne. We know it can. We know people have gotten it. We know all of those stories. We've known about all that stuff. However, it's because people wore masks and stayed away from each other. If you'll check, colds were down as well. Sore throats were down. The strep throat was down. Go through and check. All of your communicable seasonal diseases were down because of the social distancing, because of the hand washing, because of the masks, all of those things, and because people weren't gathering. So therefore, all of that was down. So, yeah. So I'm looking for, does it tell us who's got it? I'm trying to find, there is actually a CDC site that will tell you where you can get Johnson & Johnson. Okay, out of stock. Look at here, whole list. Out of stock, out of stock, out of stock. You see this? Transylvania County Health Department's got Johnson. Just before I come on the air, somebody asked me. Transylvania Health Department's got Johnson & Johnson. Almost every other pharmacy that I'm looking at is without it. Okay. All the Ingles, the Walgreens, Publix. Wonder why. Harris Teeter in Hendersonville have got Johnson & Johnson. The Advent Health has got it. CVC, the CVS in Hendersonville has got a Johnson & Johnson. And also in Arden, they've got it. Anyway, that does give you some places. But so many people are out of it. I wonder why they're out of it. Maybe it's because so many people want that one. I don't know. All right, let's change gears completely. Said 9015 says, how are things in Venezuela? Still praying for them. Will not give up. Things in Venezuela are so bad. Their currency is falling like a rock. Their currency, let me look it up today because it falls every day. I keep in touch with those guys. Matter of fact, they don't have my number, and I'm kind of glad because every day Levi has to dump his phone and race hundreds of pictures and messages that they send. I mean, they just blow his phone up continuously with what's going on in Venezuela. And I love them, and I appreciate knowing, but I can't filter all that. So they use up all the memory in Levi's phone almost every single day. Today, if you wanted to buy an American dollar and you were in Venezuela, it would cost you $4,139,112 Bolivar Soberanos. $1.14 million of their dollars to one of ours. A child could not carry in a trash bag enough money to go to the store and buy a piece of candy. That's a fact. And that is socialism. If you leave it, and if you have socialism, and you socialize everything, and the government owns everything, and the government provides everything, this is what happens. They run capitalism out. They nationalize the oil wells. They nationalize everything. And they have fuel shortages. They can't even get fuel. They're the largest hydrocarbon deposit in the world. And right now, they're at the bottom of the list, only behind North Korea, as the poorest people on the planet. And those people ought to be sitting by a swimming pool, somebody fanning them, dropping grapes in their mouth like the Saudis do on big fluffy pillows, because Venezuela has more oil than the Saudis have. And the Saudis don't work. They lay around and everybody else works. But they don't work. You get paid for being Saudi. You get paid for being Kuwaiti. Yes, you do. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. So our guys are, we pray for Venezuela often. We have an option on a piece of property down there. And so I haven't got a dollar and cents. It changes every day. But we have been buying property in Venezuela for as little as $5,000-$6,000 for a piece of property for a church. We've bought 13, and we give them to churches. And we've got a camp. We've got all kinds of things. They just support. They can't afford to go. Can't afford to do anything. It's just so bad. But one of these days, maybe. All right, let's change gears. What do you think about more money being voted for the Washington Capitol Police while the same politicians want the common people to defund our police? Well, here's the interesting thing. Why did the Capitol Police, Washington, D.C.'s Capitol Police, open offices on the West Coast and in Florida? What does the Capitol Police Department need with offices in Florida and California. I'm serious. What do they need? In other words, let me tell you what the socialists want. The socialists, the left-wing socialists, want a national police force that can be controlled by their president. And they want a national police department that overrules state police departments, county sheriff's departments, and city police departments. Somebody said, we already got that. No, not broad spectrum. If it deals with alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, yes, it exists. If you break a federal law, yes, it's called the federal marshals. If you, there's other federal agencies. If you poach on federal lands, then yes, the federal rangers will come after you. And there's a variety of different organizations, but to have a blanket national police force, we do not have that. We do have a provision that the National Guard can be brought up in instances of domestic issues. They can be brought up and used as a police force. But no, we don't have a federal police department. Now, D.C. is federal land, or most of it is. It's a federal district. It's not a state. And, of course, the Capitol is federal land. The Secret Service, of course, have jurisdiction over the White House and everywhere the president is. The Capitol Police have jurisdiction over the Capitol. But the Park Service has jurisdiction over the monuments. But the Capitol Police are just that. And by the way, there's another police force called D.C. Metro. So your traffic tickets and all that other stuff's handled by D.C. Metro. And they handle even the murders and everything. The Capitol Police are only tasked with protecting the Capitol. Why do they need to open branches in other states? I believe that the leftist socialists are moving for a national police force, just like Hitler did, just like other countries that move into this. They all do it. And they want to, and this is how it works, they're going to denigrate the local police force. But see, the local police force is controlled by the locals. In the system of sheriffs, whether you're in a in Louisiana, whether you're in a parish and you're the sheriff of the parish, or whether you are the sheriff of a county in the other states, doesn't matter. You're voted in directly by the people. And typically they have state constitutional authority that gives them their authority to enforce law, okay, by the state constitution. So if the sheriff is doing a bad job or does things that you don't like, you get to vote for him or against him. In the city level, you don't have as much a direct control of that, but the city council hires the city manager. The city manager hires and fires the police chief. And so you do have, in essence, still a vote. You can vote city council down. You can vote the mayor out. And those are people who control the police department. Okay? On the state level, North Carolina doesn't have a state police department. You say, oh, yes, we do. No, we don't. We have the State Bureau of Investigation that can be brought in, but they do not have sweeping jurisdiction. They are brought in. They're always assisting other departments is the way that works. There's wildlife. There's game. There's those things. Highway Patrol are just that. They are not state police. Andy Griffith got it wrong. They always had the state police rolling in and telling Andy what to do. They have one problem with that. That's not the way it was in North Carolina. Uh-uh. Never has been. The Highway Patrol has jurisdiction over the highway and crimes committed on the highway. But they do not have jurisdiction, house to house, that sort of thing. No, unless it was some kind of mutual aid or unless it's some kind of, they don't have that. Some states do have state police. North Carolina doesn't. And some of the older colonies don't have. We have sheriffs. And now when you get up to the state level, it's a little harder, but you still can vote the governor in and out, and you can vote the representatives in and out. But when you get up to the federal level, and you got a federal police department, it's going to be controlled by the president. And that police department's going to do his bidding. We've seen it done. We know it's done. And, of course, in a lot of places, they just simply use the military as the state police. Yeah, oh, yeah. If you just need to travel a little bit with me and deal with them. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you just need to travel with me a little bit. All right, I said let's get some more topics in, so let's change gears. 4228 says the Transylvania County School Board is voting on wearing masks, transgendered sports, and critical race theory this Monday, August the 2nd, at the school board meeting. Three very important topics. And we pray God gives those folks wisdom and backbone. 7108, when is the Sea Hope sailing? Well, we got a call today from the container company, and they have moved us again. So they couldn't get drivers for Monday. Nobody wants to work. So they can't get semi-drivers to bring our containers to us Monday. We're supposed to load Monday. We've had this stuff on our docks now for over a month. It's killing us. And so here we sit. So we, as of 5 o'clock, I did not hear when they're coming. So apparently they're not coming Monday. Maybe Tuesday, but that's our big day here. It's going to be bad for traffic. Wednesday would be better. I don't know. But the bottom line is I can't buy tickets to fly the crew until I know what the containers are going. And the captain cannot make any hard and fast sail dates until we get until the containers arrive. He has something to haul. So it has been a zoo. This is the third time we've been disappointed. And this is a international shipping company. There's no excuse for this. This is as poor. Have you tried to do anything lately? Have you tried to do business in general? Try remodeling something. Try that. Oh, that's fun. 2 months, 3 months wait on a shower, fiberglass shower stall. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Vehicles, parts. We waited over a month for a stinking radiator for a Kenworth. Over a month to get a radiator. You know how many Kenworths are on the road? And there's nothing special about ours. But they don't have any. Nobody will work. They're all drawing Biden bucks. Nobody will work. It's killing us, folks. It's killing us. And so what are we going to do? We're going to let in illegal aliens to take their place. That's how that's going to happen. That's how that's working. Yep. I've been told, this is somebody telling us, 5371 says they're dropping the PCR test by year end due to its unreliability. Well, we had a positive, a false positive, and then confirmed with a long lab negative. And so here, you know, we didn't hold service Wednesday night because of it. And so anyway, this is the situation. And the antigen tests, you know, they're considered unreliable as well. Yeah. So there's I guess I'm going back to the let me see it here. Okay. The U.S. House of Representatives controls the Capitol, the Capitol Police. Okay, the Capitol Police, the United States Capitol Police, overseen by the Capitol Police Board, and it has congressional oversight by appropriations and authorizing committees from the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. Okay, and their job is to ensure the safety and security of the Congress, the staff, and the visitors who come to the United States Capitol each day. And that's all. That's it. But because they think now that they're, you know, that we tried to overthrow the government January the 6th, that they're going to turn into this new, they'll probably have a TV show of their own, you know, about all this, you know, all of these right-wingers and, you know, all these schemes and plans. I don't know. Just saying. Isn't amazing? Yeah, just a mess. Yeah, can we go dry for the containers? Yeah, I wished we could. Anyway, let me just say one word about that. I condemn what happened on January the 6th. What happened on January 6th was unfortunate. What happened on January 6th was uncalled for. What happened on January the 6th was unlawful. What happened on January the 6th was a travesty. But what happened on January 6th was not an effort to overthrow the United States government. It might have been an effort to disrupt it, a particular proceeding, but it was not an attempt to overthrow the government. And as much as they want that dog to hunt, it ain't going to hunt. And here's the deal. And this is just common sense. And any liberal listening to the sound of my voice would have to agree to this. All President Donald Trump would have had to have said, there has been a breach in our government. What's going on is not right. It's illegal, whatever. I need every constitutional abiding American to bring your squirrel rifle and show up at Washington, D.C., or wherever he said. And folks, he had the power to make it happen. And the thing about it is, you wouldn't have had a handful of people dressed up like idiots. Trust me when I tell you, you would have had everybody from law enforcement to military, you would have had a mass situation that would have gone down in the history books. I can think of nothing that's ever happened since the Civil War that would have compared to it. He didn't. It didn't. That's not what happened. There were some people showing out. And there's still video footage that shows people the Capitol Police opening doors and removing barricades. How do you deny that? What do you say about that? And you have Capitol Police posing with these quote unquote people taking over the government, really doing selfies with them. If they are so dangerous, why did they allow them? Why did they walk in? Why didn't they start shooting them? If this was a takeover of the government, why did everybody that crossed the threshold, why were they not fired upon by the Capitol Police? You say, well, there were shots fired through a closed door, through a slit. But I'm talking about if that's what it was, if it was a takeover of the government, how come there's not thousands dead on both sides? It's because the people who went in weren't armed. And if they were, it was just a handful. You understand what I'm saying? I watched it in real time. And I was sick at my stomach as what was going on. And I still condemn it. And I condemn it on a number of fronts. But to say that it was an attempted takeover, that's about the most pitiful attempted takeover that the world has ever seen. That's about the most pitiful takeover. If that's what it was, it's about the most pitiful shot that I've ever seen. Where are all the 70 million people who voted for him if that's how many showed up and that's all they brought? You need to understand that there's a bunch of patriots who would fight for this country, who will die for this country, and they're well-armed. They're well-trained, they're well-equipped, and they could have easily overwhelmed the forces that were there. And I'm talking about with deadly force. But that's not what happened. And so anyone who would say that, and anyone who, they're just parroting what they've been told. They're not thinking. Listen, I'm not trying to tell you what to think. I'm just trying to get you to think. My goal when I go in the pulpit is not to try to tell somebody what to think, but just try to get them to think. Read that passage. Look at that. Look at this. Study this. What does this say? And challenge them to look at it on their own. I don't know what's happened to critical thinking. I don't know what's happened to people who can analyze and look at situations. I don't know. I guess we're so blinded by political hatred that we can't think anymore. But I can tell you, for someone who sat on the sidelines and watched what went on about seven different networks here in this control room, we had this place lit up like seven different live shots. And we watched everything that was going on. And we watched what every network was saying about it. And while, again, it was unfortunate, it was uncalled for, it was a number of things that weren't right. But it was not an attempted takeover of America. You can rest assured that's right. So, God help us. Am I caught up? I believe I'm caught up. Okay. Somebody said, why do you always do that on Friday afternoon? Leave a bad taste in your mouth all weekend. I've got a talent for it. I don't know. I got a picture of a motorcycle today. Yeah, got a picture of a motorbike today. Yellow one. Yeah, it's the first one that I've got a picture back on. And it was in the Philippines, in Legazpi today. And so a little motorbike. And it's more of a little town-type bike. And, cute as it can be. And so that one's on the road. And I wish that we could do more. I will just mention the need. There are five motorbikes needed in Pakistan at about $1,200 a piece. But we struggled trying to get the rickshaw paid for. And so if the Lord puts it on some hearts of some businesses, individuals, or churches, yes, we still would like to buy more motorbikes. We need five more, but I'm not going to spend more time on it. And the Lord will speak to hearts. And if he does, we'll send those to Pakistan. And so that's all I will say about it. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Please pray. I had a man call today. His father-in-law has severe case of COVID. It's in his lungs. His oxygen level's been in the 60s. They took him to a local hospital. They do not have room. They're full. They were trying to find another hospital they could transport him to. And, of course, any of the other hospitals, you have to sign that you can be put on a respirator. And you have to sign that before they'll admit you. And the family didn't want him on a respirator. And so they were not going to let him admit him because they wouldn't agree to a respirator. So, yeah, it's a mess. So, yeah, but I'm not saying it's full of COVID. I'm just saying the hospital was full and wouldn't take him. Very bad situation. Yeah, very bad situation. Let me just mention this. We are anchors on regular schedule Sunday. We're social distancing. We are, taking precautions. Our seniors are at risk, wearing masks. But we're on regular schedule indoor services this coming Sunday, the Lord willing, unless something changes, okay? All right. Thank you so much. Thank the Lord for his mercy. One other thing, our thrift store and, of course, the mission store open tomorrow from 9 to 1. This week we got an entire apartment of high-end things that was donated, professionally decorated apparently. They said come in and take everything. And I was impressed with what some of the things that came in, highly sought after items. And so that's now in our thrift store. If you haven't stopped at the thrift store, it's available on Tuesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon, and Saturday mornings. We carry furniture, appliances, all sorts of knickknacks. And that's kind of helping us over the hump while there's no groceries. But let's mention this. We found a load of groceries out of Texas, and so hallelujah. As far as I know, we should be hearing from them first of the week. But if it comes and this and the St. Vincent load hadn't shipped and the groceries come on, where are we going to put it? And we're sitting full. We are packed because of all this St. Vincent, a whole shipload of stuff in our warehouse. So, yeah, and it's been sitting here for a while, and we can't get the shippers to do what they say they'll do. Pray about that. Pray for the services Sunday. The Lord will intervene. And for Anchor, remember our work day tomorrow, okay? Let's pray together. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, help us to be found faithful. Our Father, I pray that you speak to the heart of that one which is lost today. And Lord, that you'd save them by your amazing grace. We pray for these that are gasping for air. We pray for these, Lord, that are have all sorts of medical issues. Lord, for these that are in fear because of the pandemic and all the things that are going on and the uptick and the Delta and all these other things. Lord, we pray that you would help them and give them wisdom, Lord, that they might respond not to what others are saying, Lord, but that they might pray and find the peace of God about what they need to do in their lives. And Father, thank you for loving us. I pray you'd bless the meeting down at Sinai. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless all that are seeking to serve you. As we close out the month of July and enter into a new month of August, Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as never before, that we might be found in the will of God, serving you until you come. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for being on board. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Till we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you is our prayer.